welcome back to We Bombastic Few, Season 5, Episode 3. And we're straight into it. Who do we have here?
Lindsay.
Daniel.
Lindsay. Daniel. All right, moving on. Icebreaker doesn't exist anymore. Today's segments, we got mini qualgrithm, a hypothetical, because what's a podcast without a hypothetical? And segment C, which everyone knows C stands for Would You Do It? Bombastic word. Thasylophobia. That, if you're wondering, means the fear of large bodies of water, such as the ocean.
You said thasylophobia. Yes, it is thalassophobia.
That's what I said.
You said thasylophobia. Anyway. Don't. Moving first, on. You skipped the icebreaker, so now I have to sit here, ice unbroken, and now you're mispronouncing our bombastic word and tricking our audience. And
that's what I do.
I don't know if
that's
I.
Why
if
they
I
call me the trickster?
Sit here and stand for this.
They call me the trickster because I've also tricked all of you. Turns out the betting system that I presented to you in two episodes ago is called the Martingale betting system. And I have since, if you're ever curious about losing, or if you ever are interested in losing an entire weekend's worth of time, just research, go down the rabbit hole that is researching betting systems and the Martingale, like the math behind the Martingale betting system. And the long research I did short is that given, so for example, if your odds are roughly 50%, like I gave the statistic that by your, it was something like sixth time, you had a 95% chance of hitting.
Sixth time of doing
which
what?
Which is really good.
Quick refresher?
Like betting on the same thing that had a, so you bet on a 50-50. So we'll say a coin flip. It's not exactly 50-50. So you bet on a coin flip that it's heads. It's not heads. You bet on it again. It's not heads. And you do that on the sixth time. There's a roughly, it was like 95% chance that it would, you would have a heads at some point by that time, which is really good odds for making a bet. But the thing is let's say you do it 200 times in total, because you're like, you've won and you want to keep going because you want to keep making money. Over the course of those 200 times, I don't remember the exact numbers, but you are all but guaranteed to hit a losing streak of about 10 at some point. And a losing streak of 10 in the betting system means you're losing like thousands of times what your initial bet was. So go at your own risk. Also, I recommended the basket bet, which I did not know but at the time, but the basket bet is actually, I think, the worst, if not one of the worst, bet you can make in a roulette, just because it, the house odds are the worst on that at something like 6%, as opposed to the house edge being 5.26% on all other roulette bets, which basically just means if you were to bet $100, you would be expected to lose about $5.26 if like everything goes to plan, which it never does. But Lindsay, why don't you tell us how the now that the disclaimer's out there, what happened on Friday night?
So on Friday night, we Brent and his fine self that he is came over and told me, we're trying to figure out what we wanted to do for the evening. And he says, you won't spend $100 on roulette tonight. And me being the person I am, I says, yes, I will. So we ended up at the casino at some point. And we sat down. When we eventually sat down to do roulette, I told him that, or he said, what kind of bet do you want to do? And I told him, I want to do basket. And I was very confident. Because one thing that I am teaching Brent is sometimes you have to feel out the game. You don't necessarily need to like worry about statistics or numbers. You have to feel it out. And I was feeling basket. And I'd say within a frame of 10 or so games, like not at first, but in a frame of like 10 or so games, or draws, whatever you want to call it, it hit like 5 or 6 times in a row of the basket, didn't it? Or not in a row, but like within that frame of...
Well, so like initially, you just do the bet. You start with $2, and then it's like $2.50. Then it's $3, I believe, and then like $3.50. It doesn't, and then at some point it like swaps to increase, and then it's like $4, $5, $6, $7.50, etc. And I think the first time you made it to like $6 before it hit, and then it hit, and then you like two more bets went by, and then it hit like the third time, and there was a streak where it hit four times in a row, which like I didn't run the numbers before this, but let's just say it's very unlikely. And the people to the right of us were not having it.
Yeah, the gentleman sat down, we were already in the middle of the game, put in a 20, I believe, and like back to back he was like Brent said, like four times in a row,
lost it within three spins.
Yeah, lost it super quickly, and every time that he lost, I was like, we were all like jumping for joy because we're so excited, but because we just got lucky.
We were cool, calm, and collected. We gave fist bumps all around. Shout out to Aaron, he joined us, but Lindsay was the only one making bets. But the lady two to our right, she had something like $400 in the machine when we started, and she lost it all, put another 100 in, and she was down to 60 when we left. And so
yeah, so moral of the story is sometimes numbers may or may not fail you, but feeling at the game may or may not help you.
That was absolutely not a good representation of Martingale for the basket bet, though, because it, like...
Oh, it definitely wasn't.
It was so crazy. And the thing is the basket bet, if you don't know, it's betting on 0, 00, 1, 2, and 3, and it has a 6x return. But the thing about 0 and 00 is they don't count. You can bet on them specifically, but otherwise they don't count for any other bet. So like there are plenty of bets where you're betting on a certain set of 12 or a set of like 18, or I'm sorry, 16. No, it's 18. Like red or black. There are so many different bets you can make, and zero nulls all of them. And so when you hit zero, like if you've basket is, you want zeros, but no one else in the room wants zeros.
Which is crazy. Zeros
are bad for almost everyone.
Because when we were doing, when basket hit for when we were betting on it, I feel like a majority of the times it was 0, 00.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that
that's the old casino trying to get your money.
Yep.
Not really. I'm not accusing our local casino of stacking the
ball. Only lesson I've learned per the title of our last episode is you're a numbers guy, and so you lose money at the casino, but Lindsay is the math guy, and so he makes money at the casino.
Mm-hmm. Sure. I will say another thing, fun thing I did over the weekend, with fun in air quotes that you can't see because it's a podcast, but I made a betting simulator that you can simulate. You can go through so many sessions and how many rounds of bets you do and how much money you started with and what your initial bet was. And it's very interesting to run. It's turning me off gambling because I've run all these simulations of different bets, and I've implemented it. It can like do the Martingale betting system and whatnot. And it's, betting's bad, kids. The casino's gonna win. If you want something with low house edge, play Baccarat if you want to not have to really do anything except guess, because Baccarat's very easy to play. Or craps has very low house edge. Blackjack technically, I think, officially holds the lowest house edge. That's all. That's the standard gambling segment we're gonna cut off, because
we're addicted and we can't get enough of it.
Exactly. It's more so just numbers. It just so happens that money's attached to it.
Truly, truly. All right. In less gambling related news, not news, algorithm thing. What was my story? What does BPOM stand for? Ah, okay. Have you ever noticed if you, like, say you're going through a city, you walk by a bakery, you're like, I want to try out the bakery. I like bakeries. Baked goods, they're good. Usually. And anytime I've gone into a bakery just on a whim, it's either phenomenal or meh. Like, they're never, like, solid. They're just either, like, some of the best baked goods you've ever had, or it's, like, why did I pay for this? Yeah, this is something I would expect to make just trying to make this on the first recipe I found when I looked it up and rushed it.
The only bakery I can think of that I'm not sure I've gone in a bakery just period outside of the event I'm thinking of, but very specifically, the only time I've ever gone to a bakery on a whim, sort of, was in Taiwan with my sister. Shout out to Brianna. And it was the food was phenomenal, but I think that was in part just because it was the first bit of fresh food I had had in so long, because I had been eating just like prepackaged granola bars the entire week. And so I just got it was basically just a piece of bread, but I was like, this is the best bread I've ever had.
Why were you eating granola bars?
Because I brought food there instead of. Also, fun fact, you want a guaranteed way to be stopped by the airport security is have granola bars in your backpack. I've never had granola bars or on my carry-on. I've never had granola bars in my carry-on and not been stopped.
Really?
And of those times I've been stopped, which is every time I've had granola bars, 50% of the time they have to go through each individual granola bar and look at the wrapper to see if it's a bomb.
I literally had granola bars with me last time I flew, and it went without a hitch. Or I'll have fruit snacks or other similarly packaged things just in my
bag. We've already established that my luck is with when it comes to
everything.
Some things is not phenomenal. So,
yeah,
I feel like on the like less positive side, like this is probably gonna be a really hot take, but I have such a bad luck when it comes to trying like small business food places. I feel like every time I go, I get what sounds the best to me, obviously, and it never hits. It's always like, I think it's, I would say, pretty low quality in general, not just to my standards, but in general. And so like, I just like, when it comes to like seeing a small town bakery or something like that, or anything, like I have gotten to the point where I care so little to want to try it. But I get the whole like support small business thing. It's just that like I have such bad luck that I'm not gonna go out of my way to get some food that I know I'm not gonna like, type thing.
Yeah, if I see a new bakery and I'm like, yeah, I got some spending money, I'll try it. Cause like when you do find the good bakery, it's very, very worth it. Just it's true. A lot of times.
Bakeries?
How often? I mean, not often. It's just like if I'm walking through a downtown somewhere, which isn't often.
Ones I'm mainly driven to try is like coffee shops. Those are the ones that like, no matter how small it is, I'm pretty down to try. But like food, I feel like it hits so little.
See, for me, like there are not many coffees that I'll notice, at least a quality. I'll notice flavor differences, but I won't notice like a quality difference a lot of the times. And so, yeah, mm-hmm. like it's just not that worth it for me to try new coffee places.
Well, on other terms, so I know I was getting ready for a flight back to this area that I reside in, and I looked over and saw someone, or I was actually in the seat for the flight, and I looked.
You got noticed as a wee bombastic view host.
And I saw someone like learning a language on Duolingo, and I was like, I've heard so many things about it, mainly memes about it sending weird notifications to your phone, but you know what, I can't let the memes speak for the out. Let me try it out, because part of me's wanted to try to learn Japanese, and I've attempted to teach it to myself and it didn't really work out very well. And so I did it, and that was like 2.5 weeks ago at this point. And I have done it, like been on it nonstop every day, and not necessarily. Like, I can tell when it's just I'm determined to do something, I'm going to get it done no matter what. But this is, like, not that. It's very much I want to do it. So for some reason, Duolingo has this really strange balance of, like, it's not necessarily best for them because they make it competitive. They, like, send me a notification of, like, oh, make sure you hit today's streak, or it says, oh, hey, you're not progressing to the next stage unless you make so much more XP or whatever before the end of the week or something like that. Strange things. However, like, that's cool. That's bringing me attention, getting my attention to the app. And I think that's good. Like, I'm enjoying it. I'm retaining it. And I'm really, like, any classroom setting of me trying to learn language did not go well before. Just retention of memory, I don't think it was well delivered for my learning style. But this one, like, I actually did advise that you don't do the payment for it, because the payment's like, oh, if you make mistakes in the lessons, you lose a life. You have 5 lives. If you lose 5 lives or you drain all your lives, you can't do any more. But I feel like that's helping me because I'm cautious of the lives. So I feel like it's interesting that, one, I'm able to be drawn to the app, but two, I'm like motivated not to pay for it. Is that strange?
I just want to comment. He asked me beforehand, should he leave the name of the app out? And I was like, why? And he said, because he didn't want to give free advertisement. And I said, don't worry about it. Just say the name, because it'd be inconvenient. But hot dang, that was the best. Like, that's the best possible ad they could have received, and they got it for free.
Thank you. That was not paid for, by the
Duolingo,
way. Duolingo, yeah, hit me up.
We are not sponsored by Duolingo, but we absolutely deserve compensation after that phenomenal ad read.
Look me up. It's Lindsay, We Bombastic Few. You'll find all the information online, because I'm sure someone's found it. And
I'm sure all of our devoted fans are leaking our personal information on the internet.
That's why my official name is Lindsay Wee Bombastic View.
In order to take Duolingo down a peg because they didn't pay us, I used it on my computer like 2 weeks ago, also for Japanese, and I was really upset because I don't know what the issue was, but it started out learning characters, right? Because Japanese has a lot of characters that are not the same as English.
It's like 2 or 3 alphabets.
And so they like were having me do the different symbols, and then all of a sudden they're just like, Ohio, what does this word mean? And I was like, you didn't teach me this word, so how would I know what it meant? I did know what it meant because I watch a lot of Japanese cartoons.
Anime.
But that is the proper term is Japanese cartoons, if you're not a weeb. So anyway, I know, fun fact, your extra bombastic foreign word of the day is Ohio, which means good morning in Japanese. But anyway, I was really upset because there was literally about 10 to 15 words that it just threw at me, and it didn't tell me what they were initially. And like Lindsay said, if you get something wrong, you lose a life, and if you lose so many lives, you're not allowed to continue learning. And so I was getting really annoyed because I was like, teach me these words before you quiz me on them.
Well, they deliver that, but if you click the Japanese word, it tells you what the definition is.
I did not see such a hyperlink, so I do.
It wasn't a hyperlink. It's just like you hover over it and it works.
Well, yeah, but it was not a different. It had no indicator that was the case.
Hey, so Brad, I'd appreciate it if you stop misrepresenting our future sponsor here. I haven't had any problems with Duolingo when I have used it.
You got the ad break early this time.
I've never been consistent with using it. I think the longest I've gone is like a week and a half. But
what language?
It's good. From what I've used of it, it's pretty solid.
What language were you trying to learn?
There's been a couple, I think.
Don't be ashamed if it's Japanese too.
Well, I'm trying to think. Japanese is one of them. I think I've also tried Spanish and Italian.
Interesting.
But you took Spanish 1 and 2 in high school.
No, I did not. I took Latin.
Oh, you know, you took Latin.
Because that's where we learned Trigle Sweeper, which I still currently hold the lead for. 2 minutes and 32 seconds, by the way.
Yeah, honestly, like, straight up, you can just have that one. Because
I'm going to get it below 2 minutes. One of these days, I'm just going to grind it out all day until I get it below 2 minutes.
See, I am a living organism and not a computer, and so my brain cannot register
the fact that you can mouse over words to find out their definition. Your brain can't register that.
Does not register. Not some sort of CPU.
Uh-huh. Well, Lindsay, you got our
the bombastic quote of the day is, knowing that nothing will beat seeing the Great Plateau for the first time is the prime reason for not trying drugs. Wow. And with that, because what's a podcast without it, we have the hypothetical. So, you know what it's like. You're stuck doing the same thing every day. You're stuck in this entrapment of capitalism. And you want to be more of an individual and be able to work for yourself. So, I have no idea where I'm going with this. As I never did.
We're all on this ride together.
I'm trying to make connections to the movie. But to feel this rush of individualism, if that's the correct term, individuality, whatever,
isn't it into chickenality?
Yes. The Department of Transportation globally decides that you got those vehicles, those are out of date, those are no longer up to code, we're throwing them out. So instead, they come out with these wide variety of machines that require power from the humans or work from the humans to get up and moving. So now, if you're physically able to be able to continue going where you need to go, you have to put in your amount of work. So it's more or less riding a bicycle, but if you want to do a bigger means of transportation, you're going to, like, say pedaling. If pedaling is what you got to do, if you got the feet to pedal, you're going to be pedaling on this device. So you cannot get away from the elliptical. How would this change the world?
I think we already have evidence of this, and that is the Flintstones. And that was the hypothetical, folks. So, no. But yeah, the Flintstones car.
Kind of, yeah. It's similar how idea. That,
as,
yeah.
As a, how as a affect confirming the world? Thing. Number one. You know what my thing about the Flintstones car? What I always thought, I was like, one of these days, someone's going to get their foot ran over. Like, someone in the back seat, they're going too fast, they put their leg on the floor too long, and it's going to get crushed by the... It's literally a steamroller, because the wheels they have are just large stone cylinders. And so I was like, someone is going to get crushed by one of these vehicles one day. And that was always a genuine concern of mine when I was watching it as a kid. I was like, when is the episode that someone gets crushed going to happen? Hope it's not this one.
Yeah.
So I think a lot of people could stand to be crushed.
My big thing is that cars probably just won't exist anymore, because between the amount of people you can fit in a car, I don't think you can produce the mechanical energy required to run an engine. You can't get enough horsepower.
You gotta get a lot of gears.
So like, it's more efficient just to ride bikes. You're moving a lot less weight.
Well, you might not be trying to get a motor running. You might just be propelling the car at that point, and it might be a lot lighter because it doesn't have an engine. But the reason why a car might still be useful is the amount of items you're carrying with you.
That's a good question. So, like, I've got a car, right? But the combustion engine doesn't work. But can I be, like, pedaling that is powering a generator or something?
Yes, you could.
Like, does it have to be? Well, I guess what's the restriction? It can't have. So I assume it can't have a battery, and it can't use internal combustion, and.
I mean, like, if we're gonna get scientific with it,
or like solar panel,
it requires some.
Well, it's clarifying.
Well, yeah, it just I am not the Department of Transportation globally, so I can't speak for their ideas. That I mean, who am I to undermine and talk poorly of? But
did they get like voted in or something? Because the kind of feels like a dictatorship by the Department of Transportation global.
I mean, it does seem like that, but I assure you that the
who gave them the power went
through due process to or fair process to elect the proper people, because United States chose someone, Japan chose someone.
I say we overthrow them.
What do you think?
I say we take them down.
What is the punishment for using a conventional vehicle? Like, what if you're caught driving a Nissan or, you know, a Dodge truck? I don't know.
Defenestration. Thrown out the window.
Which window?
Yes. You're thrown out of every window in
existence. No, the punishment is that you will be like a conductor or someone of a transportation that you would have to be pedaling all day long for an extended amount of time.
They give you thalassophobia by putting you in the ocean without a boat, because boats don't exist with engines anymore. Paddle boats.
They put you
in
the middle
boats?
Of an ocean
very,
with a paddle boat.
Very popular. Yeah. How do you think a transatlantic cruise would be on a paddle boat?
Well, I mean, I feel like you have multiple ways of getting through. First of all, giant oars, like on Viking boats, are going to be a
lot
more popular. And then you also have people paddling. Like, you have games for people to play that incur some kind of mechanical motion, which then gets transferred into the boat's engine and helps the propellers to move as well. So you get kind of a little extra motion that way.
Still iffy on how the whole no batteries or whatever, but let's go through and think.
We're not sure about the
modes of transportation.
It just requires
that don't use any engine or battery.
I don't think we need to do that. It's just why can't you just accept that?
Well,
that's
idea generation.
So wait, what
all
what about
modes
sailboats?
Of transportation just take a little extra manpower. That's all it means.
So how would a sailboat work, Lindsay?
Has all of our hypotheticals made sense, Brent? No. So why would this one need to make sense?
You are
just accept it.
You're getting caught in the weeds a little bit.
Yeah.
Well, no, but like I'm still trying to understand even the concept of it.
You have to put in
the car still works as long as it has like you pedaling it all the time. That's as simple.
Okay,
as that.
But like technically, so why does it have to be pedaling? Because even
it doesn't
me
have
moving
to be.
The steering wheel is technically energy I'm exerting in the
it
vehicle.
It doesn't have to be.
So is me moving the steering wheel
no.
enough energy exerted?
No.
What is?
You just can't turn
is it,
without.
What is it measured?
That's
in?
What require is required for you to turn. Yes.
You have to put in the same amount of effort you would to drive a bike.
Down the window, in a the old. Car like the older models that have a physical crank, would that be enough energy?
If you can do it while you're like inside the vehicle and the entire time, yeah.
I can roll a window the entire time.
Yeah, exactly. So you understand the thing now. You have to do some kind of thing to help the motor transportation actually move. Mm. Just accept it.
Feels like we don't need to repurpose stuff then. We just need to find cranks or just attach cranks to things.
Well, I mean, they have to be Department of Transportation globally approved.
What is there a list somewhere that I could find online of what those are?
They have to supply it though.
Oh my goodness, and probably with lead time. Honestly, okay. The hypothetical currently working at job having many problems with lead times. Lead times just got infinitely worse. The supply chain shortages and just crisis is now, it's solved in that there's no longer a supply chain. It just doesn't exist anymore.
There'll always be some kind of supply chain.
Yeah, the supply chain is one guy on a paddle boat.
Well, even if you get it from down the street, it's still a supply chain.
That guy's a hero. Dude, that's how sports is going to change. We're not watching football anymore. There's just a giant camera following around this guy on a paddle boat with commercial goods.
Yeah, things that bring up a good
it's
point.
It's a commercial cargo cruiser that he's pulling with the paddle boat.
That brings up a very good point. Since traveling now is a big physically taxing event, like if you're traveling for a sports team, like, you're not getting nearly as much rest time because you're having to put in forth work just to get from one game to the next.
Dude, I just think traveling becomes the televised sports. Like, dude, imagine street races. Not that we condone those or endorse that or anything here on the We Bought Basket Fee podcast, but imagine, like, people are racing on the highway. You know, that just got even crazier because you're having to paddle like a madman.
Yeah.
Pedal. Not paddle.
Street race paddle.
That is a sport I can get behind.
So let's say I've got my car and I've got a paddle that like hooks in. Let's say it hooks into the car. So there's like an O-ring that the paddle is going through, and so I'm paddling. Is the paddling enough to move my car?
I've got a contact for the Department of Transportation globally. It's 1-800. If you go ahead and call that number, you can ask any questions you need, that you may have. And he or she could answer any of them.
Yeah.
All right, I'm starting a coup. Is anyone interested in joining?
No, I'm more interested in Blockbuster, hitting that up, seeing what that's about. It came back somehow. Lindsay, you want to tell us about that?
I refuse to play into this joke anymore.
Well, you know, the one thing about the internet is technically data is a vehicle. And so you can't have a bunch of people doing physical work to get the data from one end of the wire to the other, right? So what do? You use magnetic tape on a square rectangle.
A square rectangle, so, yeah.
I know what a VHS is. And where are you going to get that square rectangle magnetic tape device? Blockbuster.
Now just selling empty VHSs. So you can power your internet at home.
Yep. Exactly.
Dude, fiber, like, gigabit internet, like, someone just has... Dude, those servers from the 60s that used to just be, like, antiques and collector items, now, like, if you have one of those, you have the best internet on the block.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Magnetic tape. It's the future.
Yeah.
Or it never left, according to, Today I Learned from last episode, which you should listen to.
So this is just for modes of transportation, right?
Yes, human transportation.
Vehicles, yeah.
Ooh, so dogs and other pets and animals can bypass this?
Yes.
So if a dog gets in a car, they can drive it normally?
No, because it still requires manpower.
No, because then they'll be put on a paddle boat in the middle of the ocean, and they won't know how to use it.
Seems specious, but whatever.
All right, but theoretically, if I brought a bunch of hamsters along on a car trip, on a road trip, could I just have them spin around in wheels, like on an axle, and it's spinning the axle doing stuff for me? Does that count towards my... my power,
I mean, if
output.
You can rig it up,
there's a 1-800, Daniel.
1-800.
I mean, if you can rig it up, I ain't gonna stop you. But if you get pulled over by the Department of Transportation globally, they might have some concerns and things to say. But
I mean, there are 7+ billion people on Earth, right? Like, what are the how many people are on this silly committee?
I mean, there's a whole new like enforcement team, like division. Didn't hear about that in the memo.
Now, how many people are there? Like, what's per capita? Or like, how
3.6 billion of the people of the Earth are part of this enforcement team?
This is ridiculous. My kid is screwed.
It could be you. You don't know.
Yeah, you may be enforcement.
They're sleeper agents, Manchurian Candidate style.
Yeah.
Yes. You had it imprinted in you, whether you wanted it or not. Dang. I think we should just give up. The Department of Transportation Global runs everything.
They're a higher power.
You
could
with that?
Succeed a coup anyway.
I can't decide if .ga or .gadot is a better one.
I didn't make it the things. So.
Yeah, you lost me. .ga and .gadot?
.ga
like
is
G-D-O-T
the...
or .dotg.
Department of Transportation globally.
Oh.
Yeah, but Brent's trying to change the name of a entity that we did not create.
What if for like April Fools, the U.S. government announced that like FBI is now the IBF and the CIA is now the AIC?
Isn't IBF? Oh wait, no. I was gonna say, isn't IBF something? I was thinking of IBS. So never mind.
I guarantee you, it stands for something, because there's like if you Google any series of three letters, you are almost guaranteed to come up with something.
Give me three letters. Lindsay, give me a letter.
I was going to say, I can totally game the system.
Q.
This way.
Q. Brent, give me a letter.
He said Q.
Yep, and I already put my letter in.
I want E.
All right, my letter was O. Quality of experience.
Well, there you go.
Bam.
Easy.
Oh my goodness, that's a theorem that I just came up with that I'm patenting.
Wow, you're gonna come rich off of this.
What do you do with theories?
Theories? You named them after yourself.
Aha, Brent's theory. Brent's theory is that any series of three letters in equals an organization or something.
Or something. You know, that's a that's a well thought out theorem.
It's like this.
I'm getting my PhD off that bad boy.
This comic I saw, it was like, whenever a topic comes up of like something I know a lot about, but I'm self-conscious about knowing a lot about it, I'll like say or whatever at the end of ranting about it. And it's just them looking at the Chicago sideline. Someone's like, yeah, you know, in like the 90s, the Sears Tower used to be the tallest tower in the world. And then he goes, well, you know, technically it's the tallest building in the world, because this thing was technically, you know, a whatever, telephone pole, and this thing was technically suspended by guy cables or whatever. And I thought it was okay, but you reminded me of
pop
it.
Pop quiz. Tallest building in the world.
It's right now. It's that one in the Middle East. Qatar,
which is known as,
is it Qatar? I don't remember the name of the city.
Starts with a B.
The big tower.
No idea.
Dang. I mean, Daniel got it. I think the locals call it the Burj Khalifa, but like it translates to big tower.
Yeah, of course. We know that because of Duolingo. Naturally.
You're calling it Duolingo, and I don't know if that's actually how it's pronounced, but I've always heard it Duolingo.
There's an O.
I'm aware.
Duolingo.
Duolingo. Now that's an app.
We should start our own app called Duolingo.
I'm gonna try and bash Duolingo the entire episode.
All right. Well, before we continue to talk about products we could make, let's talk about the products that are sponsoring us. So, are you guys tired of how much time doing laundry and cleaning dishes takes out of your day? Well, throw your dishes away and be prepared to cut your chores time in half with the eating gloves. With this revolutionary new technology, you can cook and eat using these gloves, and you won't have dishes to do. You just throw it in with your laundry. And they've been asked before, well, how do you cook without cooking utensils? Easy. You use the cooking glove with cloth bowl attachments if you need to cook soup, or you can just cook any kind of food directly in your palm, and the heat resistance transfers it around. There's heat resistance between your hand and the conductive layer on the outside. Conductive layer cooks all the food on the outside of it. You just throw it in the laundry, bam, it's clean, reusable, and your chores just got that much easier. And now, the new line of products, as well, has cloth baking and stovetop cookware, so that you don't have to have your hand there the whole time, and you can now work with multiple dishes at once. How have you guys been liking your eating gloves?
My top concerns with them, when I was hesitant when I went to try them and had them shipped to me. And the first one was liquids, and the other ones were any kind of food scraps, and if they were going to destroy my laundry machine, just throwing them straight in there like Daniel and the company said I could. But really, there was no problems. Soups, easy as can be. They stay right there inside the cloth material, and you can just slurp it right out. And then there may be a funny smell, but those gloves do come out perfectly clean once you throw them in.
I'll just say, I think it's hilarious when people tell me, ooh, that's a finger food. All my food's finger food now.
Get schooled, bro.
Mm-hmm. And that was the main concern when I was telling people we got this sponsor, is they said, well, like, what do you eat with? Like, what if you need a fork? I'm like, I've got nature's fork. My three fingers on my right hand.
This is what evolution has given us. I will use them.
All right, hold on. All right, pause the ad break. You have three-pronged forks, too? Lindsay has three-pronged forks, and they're the weirdest thing.
Well, I don't use my pinky as my fork because it's a different distance than the others.
Yeah. We can continue the break because this is somewhat comical.
Wait, I don't know all of your forks are three-pronged? Like, I've seen three-pronged forks, but I feel like it's most common to have four prongs.
Kristen, my girlfriend, when I met her, had a variety of three-pronged forks. And they're strange, especially when you try to eat macaroni and cheese and, like, they're too wide a distance in between the prongs to pick it up when, like, I happen to try to pick it up that way rather than stabbing it. And it just falls right down. Wait, saddest thing.
How much space is there between the prongs? It sounds more like mini pitchforks. A solid inch.
Yeah. No, it's noticeable for sure. But, like, I mean,
they make me realize I want a five-prong fork.
Like, why stop there? Why stop at five?
Because
five is a nice, even number.
I want a pair of, like, brass knuckles, but it's just, like, 30 or 40 prongs, and I just, like, hit my plate with my knuckles, and then I can eat off that.
I don't have to
dip down for a second scoop. I can just eat one scoop off, like, my pinky, and then another scoop off near my ring finger.
I feel like that's a company that could have sponsored us if you hadn't brought it up just now.
I could say another thing, but should I hold it? I guess I should hold it.
No, go for it.
I was just gonna say
they're not paying us.
So I was saying, what if there were forks that like weren't just on the same row, like they're another dimension of
double decker forks,
something like that, where it's like
or four dimensional. Like,
you could get so much more food and much more efficiently pick up food that way,
dude. What if you know what would be awesome is if like you had a fork with a little motor on it that spun the fork head for like scooping up pasta. So you just put in the pasta, hit the button, and
that exists.
Spins around. I bet it does, but does it?
No,
it's like the Beyblade thing. You just ratchet the thing back and it spins the noodles for you.
I'm more interested in my lobster cage fork. Or it's not a fork at this point, but just cage on a stick to eat with.
Yeah.
For like macaroni, you'd like scoop it up into the cage and then it would shut, and then you'd like hover it over your mouth, and then you'd release the cage and it would just all fall in your mouth.
There are some pastas that are kind of hard to get with. Have you guys ever had a bow tie pasta?
Mm-hmm. Farfalle pasta? I don't think I pronounced that right, but
wait, is that the one? No, bow tie isn't that hard. I'm thinking of
shells.
I don't know. There are pastas that are hard to get.
Possible
with a fork.
Pasta to eat with a fork.
Yeah. So.
So do we need to reinvent the pasta utensil? Is that what we're saying?
We need to reinvent
a separate
pasta.
One?
Honestly, we need to make a new pasta that can be utilized for any utensil. All
right, hear me out. The pasta is fork shaped,
and the forks are pasta shaped. I got a giant macaroni noodle and I'm trying to scoop my forks up. Dude, that'd be awesome. It's just a giant curved straw.
In my mind. We should stop it now.
Dude, imagine a macaroni noodle though. It's just a giant straw and you just put your mouth around it and
and you slurp up the fork pasta.
Yeah. Wow. We need to get on that, honestly.
Patent, copyright, little. Yeah, it's ours. What does segment C stand for?
C? What did segment C stand for? Would you do it? So I've got willyoupressthebutton.com pulled up, and we're just going to run through a few of them, talk about it, figure out, would we do it? Sorry, the way I thought about that made me think of a bit from BoJack Horseman. Sorry. But anyways, all right. Do you want to hear both, or should I just tell you the first thing and you agree or disagree to it before you hear the second thing?
Explain. I don't know if you explained what Will You Press the Button is. A website.
So Will You Press the Button is so it gives you a positive thing. So for instance, this one is you are a superhuman immune to disease and regrow limbs. But then it gives you a negative caveat. And so for this one, it's but you're the most disgusting looking thing on the face of the earth.
And you have to decide if you take both of those or don't take both of those. I think give us both. It's hard to say no, I don't want this positive, not knowing what the.
Well, I think there's comedic value in being like, oh, I'm screwed over.
All right. Well, how about this one? You have the ability to breathe underwater. Agree to it or not?
It's more of a gambling thing at this point, Brent. You got to think about gambling.
I'm not that. So I don't suffer from thalassophobia is the thing. And so I just have no desire per se to breathe underwater because there are apparatuses that have been made that allow for that, such as the scuba gear. Also known as a self-contained underwater breathing apparatus.
Hmm.
Lindsay? I'm going to gamble and say no, I will not press the button.
All right.
That's not a game.
So you have the ability to breathe underwater, but it's only salt water. You can't swim super fast. I don't know why they added this one, but and you can't talk to any of the wildlife that live in the water.
Gosh darn it. Can you imagine if I had pressed that and I couldn't talk to the wildlife underwater
you
anymore?
You couldn't be Aquaman? Why would you want to do it?
Oh, that would have been terrible. And honestly, that's very tame in terms of consequences.
For me, I would have pressed it if I could swim at normal speed underwater because, you know, like, that'd be cool.
Is it all water or just salt water?
Just salt water, which is still awesome.
Well, no, that you can't swim at full speed.
I imagine just in salt water. That seemed like...
Yeah. So, I don't know. I don't need... I'm not going to... I can't talk to the shark. That is a good point. I can't talk to the shark or swim away from it. So,
yeah.
There are problems.
Let me find a good one. What does this one even mean? I'm trying to figure out if this is money or coffee. All right. Unlimited bucks. Or is it money? Is it
I've heard jokes regarding this wording.
I think it's referring to deer.
I'm gonna say I will press the button.
I'll press it for unlimited deer.
It's also a little confusing because the caveat says, and I quote, "You can't any relationship with girls," which gets the point across. To be fair.
You can't any?
You can't any relationship with girls.
Fill in the blank.
But you get unlimited bucks. and both words are capitalized.
Right.
I'll press the button. Unlimited bucks? Dude, imagine what I could do with an army of deer.
A lot of things.
With unlimited deers, you can get unlimited money.
All right. You have the ability to create a best-selling game all by yourself.
Already done. It's called Kangaroos vs. Platypuses. You can download it on itch.io.
Wait, what? Say it again. Say it again, Daniel.
You have the ability to create a best-selling game all by yourself.
Already exists. It's on itch.io.
It is not. It is acceptable. Sure, why not?
But
no, I'm not interested because I can already make it.
But you can only type 30 words per minute.
I thought my typing speed was a lot faster than it actually is. It's not 30, but
I mean, I feel like
I can't.
I can type
sub 60, I think, which was surprising to me.
if I know what I'm going to type, I feel like I can type pretty fast. Not, I mean, yeah, not relatively fast, but...
That's not how typing tests are taken, though. It's always random.
Yeah, well...
I've been taking a typing test for a few years now.
If I'm writing a paper, and I know what I'm going to type, and I'm just staring at my keyboard, then I can type decently fast. If I'm having to read off, you know, a typing test, then I'm going to type slower because I can't stare at my keyboard.
I think if you have to look at your keyboard, you're instantaneously barred from taking typing tests.
I don't have to. I'm just a lot faster if I can.
Which is so weird, because why?
What do you mean? Don't you?
Because not
you
all of us
faster?
Have like fantastic memory like you do, Brent.
No, it's just like you should have learned typing in sixth grade.
I did. No, I did learn typing when I was really young. However, my memory fails me at times, so I look down to make sure.
I don't accept that just because of how long you've typed.
I mean, if I'm just like typing a website in or something, I don't look at my keyboard. But if I'm typing a paper, I'll just like, I'm just furiously tapping away at my keyboard as fast as I can.
Also,
if I weren't looking, it'd be much easier to make a mistake.
You don't use like standard hands on like your index fingers are on F and J and then
spread out. Sometimes I do, sometimes I don't.
One thing I am trying to improve on is using the proper shift at all times. I feel like
I can't imagine using anything but the left shift.
Exactly. But like I'm trying, like I know it's like for speed, but like
I don't know if it is faster. Like I bet there are numbers that say so, but like seems.
I mean. I in theory, I guess right shift could be faster because you're not really using your pinky for any of the letters except maybe P, whereas on the left hand, you're probably using your left pinky for A.
Well, but the thing is my my ring finger instantaneously moves to A if I need to type A.
And it's the same idea. I mean, that's why I use left shift as well.
Can you imagine using right control?
No, I cannot.
Like?
Or right alt even. Like, I couldn't.
I don't need to use alt very often.
Imagine using right backspace.
That'd be pretty sad.
if you mean the delete button, sometimes.
I didn't know what the delete key did for a really long time.
Me neither. And I just assumed it was
still
like
does mostly nothing.
I always assumed delete was the same as backspace, and then I realized it was not.
All right, we're going to do a quick pop quiz on key command. Do you know what control backspace does?
No.
Is it the whole paragraph or something?
It deletes an entire word. And then if you do, you can do control shift like home or end, and it will highlight an entire line. Like home would be the entire line to the left. It's just shift home to highlight an entire line to the left of where your cursor is. Shift end will highlight an entire line to the right of it. Control shift home would highlight the entire document before your cursor. Control shift end would highlight the entire document after your cursor. And that's your weekly tips, keyboard tips with Brent.
Yeah, but that stuff isn't important. The ones you need to know are...
It absolutely is. Are you kidding me?
Control shift escape. To pull up Task Manager and Windows L to instantly lock your computer.
How often do you use Task Manager within Google Chrome, though?
Google Chrome?
You don't use it within... Like, it's a standalone app. You don't use it within anything.
It's part of the operating system.
Okay, but there is... I'm aware of that. But there's a Task Manager within Google Chrome.
That's what I was asking.
That's
Cap. Yeah.
I thought it was Control Shift Escape.
Control Shift Escape is Windows Task Manager.
I think that's a. Hold on.
Well, I don't use Chrome, so I don't know. But it's always just on Windows Task Manager for me.
That's that system main. Shut down all the time.
One,
shift
I wouldn't
escape
know what
is Task Manager on Google Chrome.
What is it?
Shift escape.
What does the Chrome Task Manager do? Like, I can't even think
You can kill tabs.
But it's already on my screen. Unless, I guess, you could take the tabs off your screen. But
I feel like I only have the tabs I'm going to be using in the
near future. I know, that's why I was, like, I don't think it's very useful, but that's why I was confused when you were talking about Task Manager, and since we were talking about specifically browser stuff.
I mean,
is why I thought you were talking about the Google Chrome.
No, I just thought you were talking about keyboard shortcuts in general.
We're going to talk keyboard shortcuts. I could do... All right, next segment I have, which actually is next week. Maybe next week, tune in if you want keyboard shortcuts. If that doesn't interest you, tune in anyway, because we won't do it. That was a lie.
Wow.
Which part was a lie?
One of them exactly. was. Exactly. One of the parts was a lie, so we do have that guaranteed.
You won't find out until next us. Week.
Tune in next week to find out in which way Brent lied to you.
Exactly. But then before we move on to next week, if you're already in next week and you're listening to Podcast Late, give us one more Will You Press the Button.
All right. Hold on. I'm going to open this in a new tab. You know, I'll just do it. Every page on the YouTube website will take 20 seconds to load.
No.
No.
Absolutely not.
But
I feel like... Go ahead.
But once the page is loaded, the video buffers immediately. This only applies to you.
I feel like YouTube loads very fast for me, so why would I potentially increase it to 20 seconds?
That's why I wanted to skip that one.
That might be an aged one. Just do one more.
Is there a way... Since I bought my own internet...
All right.
It is not...
Oldest comment I can find on this one is 7 years ago. So... yeah, and all the recent ones are like, there's no upside on this one.
Yeah. Buffering sucks.
All right. That was a bad one. You become a virtuoso at your favorite musical instrument.
What is my favorite musical instrument?
Yes. I will press the button. But I can only play it when no one's listening.
Oh, yeah. Brett, do you have a guess on the negative?
I would have
can't hear it.
Mine would be either saxophone or piano.
I think it would be piano. Or
violin's pretty good, too.
Really basic and say guitar.
I think I would do flute. I would say flute, violin, or didgeridoo.
Didgeridoo would be unacceptable.
So my guess is what the bad side is you can't hear it, Beethoven.
No. The downside is you'll never become famous during your own lifetime. Your talents will only be appreciated after you die. Wait, I think we've had this one before.
Totally okay with that. No, I think we've had that negative, but I don't know if we've had that positive. Mm. I would totally be okay with that. No problems with that.
Yeah. Dude, just the fact that I'd be able to circular breathe masterfully with a didgeridoo.
Yeah.
I think circular breathing is the coolest thing. You're breathing in and out at the same time. I spend half as much time breathing as you.
Huh. I don't know about that. Honestly, it feels like you spend more time breathing than me if you're doubling down all the time.
My lungs are more powerful now you have than me yours because I can breathe
now
more
I'm imagining like points. One lung is expanding and one lung is contracting like at all times.
Like I'm filling cycles. One lung up while the other one compresses, so just like see the right side of my chest get bigger and the left side's like caving in on itself.
You can independently operate your lungs. That'd be interesting.
That's a superpower.
Mm-hmm.
Dude, imagine like you're a superhero and you have that ability, and like you're in a fight and someone collapses one of your lungs. Easy. You just stop using it and you use your other one only. Bam.
That situation has killed so many heroes before.
Exactly. That's why I think it's useful. I think it's like,
Lung Man, they threw gas in this area, poison gas. And he's like, don't worry, I'll only breathe out of my left lung, so it'll get all the gas. And then once we get in safe, where I would normally die, I'll start breathing out of my right lung.
Think of all the supervillains who have like put them in that situation, and then they give them... a gas mask, but it only covers one of their nostrils. Because as we all know, one nostril goes to one lung and one nostril goes to the other.
Uh-huh. I'm reading All Quiet on the Western Front right now. Self-proclaimed best war novel of all time. Very humbling book.
Wait, what was it called? And,
All is Quiet on the Western Front. I don't think there's an is. But it's on the German side during World War One, and the gas mask parts are...
All right.
I would not have made it far in World War One. I'll have to look into that book.
One of the things you said, it's very humbling. That's a phrase I've never understood. What does that mean? Like, I went and worked with starving children in this third world country for 2 weeks. It was so humbling. But with, like, what humbled you? What made you like? I don't understand.
I guess the implication of the phrase, right, is it made you realize how good you had it.
I don't think I'm ever humbled in that way with a broadening perspective with me being greater. I think it's more so like when times are getting tough, that's when I'm feeling humbled. Like, it's humbling me knowing that, like, oh, I see people, let's say when I'm practicing for soccer, when I was doing soccer in high school, and there were people that could go run the sprints for much longer than I could. It's humbling to see, okay, there are people that are much more like capable, much more like willing to do it than I am. I've got more to grow. That's where I say I'm humbled.
Yeah, like, I feel like humbling is like when someone really like outdoes you in something.
Yeah.
Well, you know? It could also be used just like, oh, my life sucks. And it's like, oh, you outdid me in your life sucking way more than mine did.
Your pettiness for yourself, pity gets humbled, I guess.
Basically, wow, I aspire to have a life this sucky someday. I'm so humbled. I have new heights to achieve, or lows, rather. That's how I pictured that take on it. But anyways, in conclusion, the end of the episode is here. Like, comment, subscribe, follow, all the other stuff if you want to. If not, please do. We'd appreciate it, because it helps us in theory. I don't know. I feel like you have to like grow a certain point before those things are actually like noticeably helpful. But we do see some numbers, and we are excited to see them go up because dopamine in brain go burr. So definitely boost those numbers for us. Any follows? Follows? Final thoughts?
I'm a follow. I used thassilophobia correctly like 3 times.
I think you used and last week's too, Brent.
I very contrively used last week's, I think. But the shout out to Mom, Will Smith comes to the podcast. And I think this is the end of the betting trilogy? ?
Wait for the prequels.
We may go again, but we may move away from the topic.
I'm pretty sure we talked about the Vegas trip at some point.
I feel like it came up.
But the thing was too is like the podcast kind of like stopped after that. So who knows?
Imagine doing
maybe hiatus. You know about Vegas, maybe you don't.
Yeah,
we're gonna keep you in stasis just like that.
New 9-month hiatus incoming, confirmed.
Confirmed.
Oh, yikes.
9-month hiatus, go burr.
Of course.
I say we martingale it, double up, 18 months this time.
See, because if you take 9 months off, you know, you have a 50% chance of having 9 months on. And then if you don't, you take 18 months off and you'll have a 50% chance of, you know, getting 18 months on. And if that fails, you know, so eventually we'll have a really long streak of podcasting, but it all depends on how long a break take.
We're going to make money in the end. That's all that matters.
Step one, take break. Step two, end break. Step three, step four, profit.
Yep. What's the house edge on a podcast?
The 7.
Ooh.
700%.
Yeah. Dang. You should not listen to podcasts.
Yeah.
Okay. Final thoughts, Fiend.
Lindsay. I cannot talk. Any final thoughts?
No, this is really my weakest point of the podcast, I believe. Is when it comes to, or the lead ups for hypotheticals and the final thoughts moment is my worst.
What's on your mind? It doesn't have to be about the podcast.
Okay, sure. So today I finished work and I sat down to do my homework and I just like zoned out and I could not like process, because yesterday I like wrote a paper and did another huge homework assignment. And I took enough breaks yesterday that I was fine, but today like my brain had zero processing power. So today has been like running on fumes, and I like crashed on the couch for like an hour, and I woke up even worse than I was prior to the nap.
Wow. Yeah.
There's my thoughts.
Sometimes it's just like that. You just kind of get goofed and you don't know why.
Indeed.
And as for me, I also don't have anything related to the podcast, because I'm playing with my hair tie right now that's like mostly broken, and the rubber band is, so like the rubber band's broken but the cloth isn't, so I'm just like playing with the ends of the rubber band on it. Fun. But
we really could have ended this podcast 6 minutes ago.
Yeah, but we want to push your bedtime back as long as we can. And I feel like we've done a pretty decent job at that. So, have a bombastic week, everyone. And we'll see you next time.